Welcome, welcome back to the Troop Leader Experience Podcast. This is a fun, a little different interview. I know you love the interviews, you guys, and I'm excited to bring another person from outside of the organization in to share some really cool expertise. But y'all know me, I don't like to do that whole I'm going to read a bio to you thing. So I'll go ahead and have my guests introduce themselves. Please tell us who you are and a little bit about what you do.
Hi, thank you for having me. So I am Betsida LeBron. I am a team building comedian, and I work with teams and with leaders and teaching what I call playful leadership and emotional intelligence through play.
Let's start with this playful leadership idea, because I just love this so much. And I love that you describe yourself as a comedian first. And then the ways that looking at your page and your social media and everything like that, it's so much usually more geared toward working with adults, especially in a corporate situation. And that's just not typically what you think of when you think of playing. So of course, at Girl Scouts, we try to do a little more play. But tell me, what does playful leadership even mean?
So playful leadership is really an approach to how we show up. And it is a mindset of being about play, leading, but with a very human perspective. So it's about being willing to laugh at yourself, take yourself a little bit less seriously, which is really important, especially as adults. That is something that you see in workspaces, especially people tend to take themselves very seriously. We lose that sense of lighthearted play. And it is about being willing to lean in, to be curious, to try things, experiment, make mistakes, own those mistakes, right? And just be constantly evolving and growing and thinking about, like, how can we make this more fun? How can we find ways to make this light? Because I really believe that management specifically doesn't have to be heavy, that it can be light. And part of that is just being able to be playful, which also is about being authentically yourself and showing up, leaning in, and finding ways to have more fun together.
Yeah, I think sometimes in the context of Girl Scouts, when we are trying to, especially when we're new and we're uncomfortable, we're not as sure of what the heck we're supposed to be doing here, and if the girls are even going to like it or want to be there, or if the adults are going to trust us, or if the girls are going to trust us, if they're going to listen to us, if they're, some of it is, I want to feel like I'm in control of the situation that I feel out of control of. And some of it is, there's a lot of rules and there's a lot of regulations. There's a lot of material that I have to get through. And so just in the name of trying to get through as much as possible and make it as effective as possible, it can get a little serious. And one thing that people really criticize about the program as it's written is that it can start to feel just like school. So what are some kind of tips or best practices for being in a space like that, that you might have for volunteers listening who forget how to have fun in those moments?
One, I just to acknowledge that's such a real thing, that we feel like we have to constantly like perform, that feeling of, oh, it has to go just right. And so I think a couple things that I would say would be to help people remember that the idea of perfect doesn't exist. And so when we are striving for this idea of perfect, what we're doing is trying to overproduce and overpolish things. And we end up losing the humanity of it. And so actually perfect isn't great, especially when it comes to connecting with other people. So give yourself permission to make mistakes. Mistakes are, and I talk about this a lot, that really the definition of a mistake is it's something I didn't expect to happen, just happened, which is also the definition of a surprise. The only difference is my perception. So give yourself permission to see it as a surprise, and so that you can stay open and keep playing with it. The other thing is, as a leader, modeling is so huge in how you show up for other people. So as a leader, being able to stay open and rolling with whatever happens, not only are you training yourself to be more confident, you're also giving permission to the rest of the group to see what that looks like. And they're learning from watching you. If you are trying so hard to hold everything together, you're unintentionally, right, teaching and feeding anxiety to the group. And so that's a reason why it's not worth holding things so tightly. And that playfulness, right, is about letting it be more organic, being more loose with it, and then just keeping in mind where is it that you're trying to go, and trust that there's different ways to get there and that you can explore and try things and come back based on what you've learned and then do it different. And that's the fun of what you're getting to show the group.
On that note, I have a question that's going to be, and maybe you've heard this before, because in doing this work, I mean, you've talked to a lot of people, but I'm thinking the people listening who have been listening for a while who know me, they're going to laugh at this. Okay. I'm an overthinker. I'm an Enneagram 3. I'm driven by my achievements. I am a bit of an academic. I love collecting degrees and I just take things very literally. And I do have fun like in my life. But when I am thinking about, okay, Sarah, you're going to lead this group, whether it's adults or girls, make sure it's fun. Make sure you're having fun. Make sure you're being playful. I feel almost like an out of body experience. Like I don't know how to human. And I don't even remember what does fun looks like. Maybe when I picture it, I picture like skipping and laughing, a lot of laughing. But like, how do I show up and just make sure everybody like actually has that time? How do I have that time? How do I make something playful? Is that just a totally chaotic?
No, it's a great question. And so I think it's helpful to know that you cannot force fun, right? Fun is not something that you can force. And so that actually, and then that comes back to that idea of, but like wanting to have control makes it really hard. Like, how do I have fun? And then, but make sure that everyone's having fun and then stay in control. Like that, all these things feel like we make it so much harder than it needs to be. When I'm encouraging people to create a space for having fun, what I'm asking them to do is to make sure that they are showing up willing to have a good time. And that means that you're not necessarily in control of the outcome, but you are fully present in the moment. And if you can do that and stay open and curious and like interested, then you're giving space and permission for other people to have fun. If you can stay lighthearted and laugh, right, when things don't go the way that you expect, see things as more of a surprise than a mistake, that is, you are creating a space of playfulness for yourself. And the emotion that you are cultivating for yourself is joy. And because emotions are contagious, you're then giving permission for others to also step into their joy and join you in fun. But you cannot force fun. You can only invite fun. And it starts with, if you're the leader, you have to create the space for it. And it starts with, are you allowing yourself to have fun, take yourself a little less seriously, because ultimately it's about connecting human to human.
Yeah. Okay. I love this. So there's this principle in Girl Scouts that is girl led. So if you are listening and you're new to Girl Scouts, you're new to GSLE, or maybe you're not new to Girl Scouts, but you just don't know GSLE, which is the Girl Scout Leadership Experience, which is the research principles that the program is based on, right? There's really three guiding principles to activities. It's hands-on learning, cooperative learning, and girl led. And I feel like what you're describing is really, it comes back to GSLE, you guys. In order to do those things, what I heard you say especially is getting curious and the connection with people. And I think that really, it lends itself to all three, but it really lends itself to, in my mind, to girl led. And this idea that you don't have to be the one to show up and be the comedian necessarily. You can give your girls the space to be interested and then therefore interesting, and they'll have fun and you just hold the space for them. Does that sound right?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that a big part of what, when I talk to people about like playful leadership, that it's easiest to play when you're being your more authentic self. And so as a leader, maybe you're not the comedian, right? And I think that's okay. It's to lead into what for you feels like fun, what feels like play, because that excitement that you bring to whatever that is, that's, again, you're inviting other people to feel excitement and just giving yourself permission to be like a little nerd. And I know sometimes people talk about, oh, that's cringe, or, but I don't think so. I think that it's when people step into something that they genuinely love, not because they're trying to, I think the cringe happens when you're trying to do it for someone else. But if you're doing it because this excites you and you're sharing that excitement, That's contagious. And so that's what I want to encourage leaders to. You don't have to be something that you're not. Just step into what actually genuinely excites you. Find more opportunities to share that with others and find opportunities for your team to share that with each other.
Yes. Okay. I love this so much because as you started talking and you actually got there, but as you started responding, I was thinking, yeah, what my idea of a good time is, if I'm going to just describe what's my idea of a good time, it's probably curled up on a rainy day with a blanket and a book. And being able to own that is part of who I am. And that is one of the many things that I love. And that's how I learn. That's how I engage, is by reading and asking questions and researching and being able to share, like, hey, this is what excites me. And as you said earlier in this conversation, is modeling that for the girls. Oh my gosh, especially as they're getting older, the pressure that they're feeling to conform or to be something they're not, or to be performative and to lose sight of just liking the things you like. Just being who you want to be is so powerful. And I just feel like this lends itself really well to EQ, but I do have one more question about playful leadership that I can't not ask. So pause on the EQ part, because I think we're coming into that naturally. But you have on your website, play isn't just about having fun. It's also about rising to the challenge and stepping outside of your comfort zone. You got to be a little brave to have a lot of fun. And Girl Scouts know that we have this kind of acronym, this GIRL, go-getter, innovator, risk taker, and leader. And risk taker in particular, I think is a surprising one. I feel like go-getter, maybe innovator and leader definitely makes sense, feels good, but risk taking can be a bit of a surprise. Wow. That feels big, and that feels like, why are we doing this? Why are we having girls take risks? And I feel like that lends itself really well to that phrase on your own website. So can you talk a little bit about how getting outside of your comfort zone and being brave actually leads to fun?
Yeah. So I talk a lot about, like, in the workshops that I lead, the idea that you have to step out of your comfort zone so that you can do something different, right? Part of it is, to build a skill, you have to break the pattern, right? Because that's what builds our confidence. The more that we can break the pattern and we go, oh, I did it different, but I succeeded, is so important for all of us, not just when we're young, but continues to be true. And so I always am telling people that you have to be willing to step out of your comfort zone to grow. And so I'm a very visual person. So I think about an avocado as this kind of help to illustrate it, and that most of us are like in that pit, which is the comfort zone. So the brown pit of an avocado, and that where we want to go is we want to step outside of that, just to step out into the growth zone, which is the green, yummy part of the avocado. But what most of us think about when we think about stepping out of our comfort zone, we think about stepping so far out of our comfort zone that we're in the danger zone. So we're past the hard shell that's holding the avocado together, out into the abyss. And so people are so afraid of, I'm not ready to go there. But what I'm constantly encouraging people to do is to find small steps outside of their comfort zone. So they're still in the growth zone, but it's just a little different than what they would normally automatically do, so that they're practicing breaking those automatic patterns, and they're building that confidence to have fun, right? You do have to be a little bit brave, because you have to step out of what to be true and just try something different. And so play requires us to step out of our comfort zone, because play, by definition, is something that we do when we don't know the outcome. And if we knew the outcome, then we'd be in our comfort zone. But the fact that we're trying something without knowing how it's going to end is play, and is our growth zone, which is outside of the comfort zone.
This is so good. Okay, tell me about emotional intelligence. What is it, and why is it important?
So emotional intelligence is all about understanding your emotions and connecting your emotions and so that your thoughts and your feelings are in alignment. That's how I really define it. So it is about recognizing, identifying, and managing your emotions, but also the emotions of others. And so one of the things that most people don't fully understand about emotions is we have so many misinterpretations of emotions. We either think that, okay, if I control my emotions, then I'm emotionally intelligent. And that's not what I'm advocating for. That's why I say that thoughts and feelings are in alignment. One of my favorite examples of illustrating this is like when you walk your dog, any kind of dog trainer will tell you that ideally, if you have a dog and you're walking them, you want to be walking with them. Yes, they're on a leash, but you're walking with them. So that means that you're not dragging them and leading, and they're not dragging you and you're following behind. You're walking together and there's some slack in that leash. And ideally, that's how we want to be with our emotions. We want our emotions to be with us so that they're helping us and we're understanding what they are asking for. They're not guiding or dragging us. So that's why if I have an emotional reaction, I'm just doing whatever because of my emotions, right? That's emotions leading. Or if I'm feeling things and I don't have time for that, and then I'm just doing whatever and ignoring my emotions, right? Then that's me leading. And neither of those are ultimately helpful. The goal is for our emotions, for our thoughts and our feelings to be in alignment.
Have you witnessed, or do you have any kind of information about kind of the relationship between emotional intelligence and gender? And I know gender is a complicated situation, but obviously this is called Girl Scouts. So typically we're talking about specifically for girl children, any kid that identifies as a girl, but I have been trying to just be as inclusive as possible. And so I think we can say not boys. Gender fluid or non-binary kids often have a really safe place in Girl Scouts as well. And I think it's important just to shout that out. But what kind of trends or patterns do you see in the work that you do when it comes to EQ and gender?
So it's interesting because what I have observed, and this is just from me, is that emotional intelligence is not easy, I think, across the board. But there are socially acceptable emotions that are just more allowed by different groups. I think that it is generally more allowed for boys, for males, to express anger in a way that isn't always socially acceptable. Anger is a big one that I feel like girls, especially like young women who are like, it's not okay to show anger. But then on the flip side, I also think that it's like, not really seen as socially acceptable. It seems like things are changing, at least with the younger generations, as I see parents are parenting differently than my parents parented or generations before. But it was also like boys aren't typically allowed to cry. That's not seen as socially acceptable to show that kind of sadness, that pain. And so I guess what I'm saying is that I think that there's some differences, but at the core, I think that it's like, we are told in different ways, no matter who you are, that you cannot fully express emotion, that we see emotion generally, if you cannot control it and keep it together, as a sign of weakness, and that we really praise executive thought as if that is the end all be all of what is best, and that people who do not have emotions, we see as much wiser. And I think that's such a huge problem because when people are not hearing their emotions, we are losing empathy. And there's a lot of lack of empathy, I feel, in the world right now. And part of that is because we've been told that we should be more cerebral in the way that we think about the world and the way that we relate to each other. And yeah, I don't think I answered your question exactly, but I do feel.
No, I love it. I love it. This kind of discussion is just so interesting to me. And I think that you're really onto something because yeah, we're literally living in a world where we're almost being encouraged to be less empathetic and to own more our own actions and our own decisions. And to, even if that means it might affect other people negatively, like they just shouldn't be so soft about getting their feelings hurt, that we should unapologetically take up space in a way that best serves us. And I think it's a blend. It's even in spaces that are trying to be more, and this tiptoes on politics, but more kind of spaces that are more seen as progressive can even be like, in the name of empowerment, I want to encourage you to pursue like what's in your best interest unapologetically and stop people pleasing. And it's just such a weird line, right? Because there's a line between people pleasing and empathy for how your words and actions affect others. And I think that's a hard line to walk.
Yeah. And we could go in that direction, but we also don't need to. I think there's a, it's not, and I guess the thing is like, it's not obvious work. I think that sometimes people, but especially like you said, I do work a lot with teams at work, so corporate or nonprofit. And when I lead these workshops, these team trainings, sometimes people will say, duh, didn't we learn this as children? But we didn't. And that's the thing is, I feel like if the way that people just assume like, oh yeah, be kind to each other. But to your point is we don't know what that means. These are just words that we're not living. And so part of the work that I'm really trying to bring to life is to help people understand, but what does that mean in my day to day? And how can I do it in a way that feels good to me, but that doesn't feel heavy and impossible? Because again, when we start to feel like, oh my gosh, there's all of this that I have to like be so careful and I can't like make these mistakes and everything is this idea of it must be this way or else it's not valid. It keeps us from trying. And so that's really what I'm trying to help people, find the courage to break through that discomfort so that you start to build the confidence and it gets easier as it goes. But it does start a little bit awkward.
I love that. Okay, so because we are all a little bit awkward, and I think also it's here's your permission slip. It's okay that it's a little bit awkward. We are going to get better. And I know you mentioned that didn't we learn this as children? And you said, no, we actually didn't. So in the spirit of that, how do we help children learn this? Do you have any tips or suggestions? How do we help the kids in our troop learn about these things?
Yeah. So if you are a troop leader, it's going to be helpful for you to be going on this learning path yourself, because we cannot teach something that we do not understand first. And once you start to understand it, you start to build more of your awareness, then one of the things that you can be doing is you can help to fill in the gaps that maybe they don't yet have. One example of that could be if there is maybe a disagreement between two of the Girl Scouts, you can ask, basically, you can help to fill in the part that they don't understand or that they don't see. Because a lot of times, right, they only see their perspective, and you might be able to help color in the full picture for them to have that understanding. But that requires you building your awareness of what that means. You can practice perspective taking. That's another thing that's really helpful at all different ages. But again, that's something that you also have to be comfortable doing, and perspective taking in a way that is honest. And I say honest because sometimes we will take people's perspective, but we do it in a mildly dishonest way because we're really just taking that perspective to then validate our perspective. So, oh, how could they do that? And then you jump into their thinking about how they did what they did, but you're doing it from your vantage point and just thinking about how you can just validate your own, what you're already thinking, versus letting go of all of your stuff, jumping into their perspective fully and thinking about it from their perspective and what's their, how are they perceiving you and your actions? And sometimes that's not very favorable to us, but that's the level of honest perspective shifting that I'm saying is good to practice. And when you get good at that, then you can start helping others to start to do that as well.
Yeah. There's an activity that I did in a corporate retreat, gosh, probably 12 or 13 years ago, that really has stuck with me, that's related, where you have a partner, you both sit down and you write out the kind of dialogue that was part of a conflict or a misunderstanding or a disagreement you had with someone recently. And you write down like between you and them what was said on the right hand side of the page. So it's folded in half and on the right hand side. And then on the left hand side, you go through and you put what might have been going on, what was going on in your head when that person said whatever they said. You put that on the left hand side and then you go back and fill in what might have been going on in their head when you said what you said, to try to build that kind of empathy and understanding. And that, like, in my brain, I've called that the left hand column exercise ever since I was there. And when I'm trying to understand what someone else's perspective might be that might affect me in an emotional way hopefully before I have a reaction, but also when I'm trying to help other people, like my friends or whatever, kind of process what they're going through, I find myself going back to what's in their left-hand column, but what's going on in their left-hand column. So it's so funny. As you were talking, I was just like having a flashback to that exercise. And it's amazing how much that really stays with you once you start practicing it.
Yeah. And it does. And it does take intentional practice, to your point, right? This isn't something that you just, oh, I just do it. And I do think it helps to write it down, to think about it from a different perspective. Like, even you could do an improv and role play, like there's different ways, but to practice it, to feel it is so important, because it's not something that we naturally do. We naturally are, again, like our brains want to protect us. And so our brains will do almost anything to let us be right. And so that exercise that you're talking about is about admitting that we might not be right, which again is being willing to make mistakes, is taking yourself less seriously. All of it connects.
Yeah. Do you have any other kind of activities or things that at different age groups that volunteers listening might be able to take to a troop meeting to work through things with girls in a planned way? Because I think helping with conflict resolution could be usually something that would come up when there's conflict, and that counts. That's totally helpful. But also, if they're planning their next troop meeting and this is something they want to dial into, is emotional intelligence. Do you have any suggestions for things that they might do with girls?
Yeah, I think kind of character analysis is always a really good activity for building empathy and practicing. And really, it's just using imagination to imagine what it's like to be in somebody else's position, to be in somebody else's shoes, whether it's like a story that you're reading, or maybe it's somebody like in the news or media or something like that. Just bringing these things to then talk and have the girls use their imagination to think about, like, what would it feel like to be this person? What would you be thinking? You could even incorporate the different senses, because it's just another way of creating empathy, is like fully imagining what it's like to be where they are in that moment. Those are really powerful exercises.
Yeah, I could see, it's not fully formed, but in the name of characters, I could see letting girls identify characters themselves, and maybe even challenging them to pick a least favorite character or a character that's seen as the villain or the antagonist in the story. And then you're covering some of the, if you did antagonist, you're literally covering some of the kind of storytelling principles that they're probably learning in school and reinforcing that, but also then challenging them to do some kind of role play or improv type of situation to get them to capture that character. I could see there's something bubbling there for me of, ooh, this sounds like it could be fun.
I've done an exercise like that in a workshop where it's picking somebody. But again, this might be something maybe with older girls. It might be a little harder to do with elementary school girls, because I think that it's hard for them to say something that they don't believe. But when you get a little bit older, you can understand that you're just trying on different perspectives. But I sometimes have a group share something that's very small, that's not a big deal, but it's something that is true for them. And then have them say the opposite. So I have everyone say what's true for them, like a line. So somebody who's like, I need coffee to start my morning. Like, coffee makes my best, I have a, the best days are when I start with coffee, right? It can be something very small. And then, but everyone says like a small thing that's true for them. And then I come back and ask them to give me the opposite. And so then they would be like, and the opposite is it's whatever they want it to be. So they might say, I don't touch coffee. Or when I drink coffee, I have bad days. Whichever one, they just pick one and then they go with it. And then I ask them to pretend to be this person, take it serious, and just have a little rant, basically, as this person. What would they believe to be true for a minute?
Yeah, I like this a lot because I think it really feeds back into that same theme from earlier of helping girls be comfortable that they can like what they like and not like what they don't like. And they don't have to conform to what kind of the status quo is. And by the same token, they also don't have to hold other people to the same standard. So it's okay if somebody has a different perspective. It just makes them uniquely them. And it's okay if you have a different perspective. It just makes you uniquely you. And it can just be that like one person likes coffee and one person doesn't. And that is not really that big of a deal. So I feel like it can really help. There's just so much pressure. And I think we especially see this as our Girl Scouts are going into middle school, as we really start to see, and even late elementary school, this pressure to conform to be like everyone else, or that person is weird or different, and that makes me uncomfortable. And so if I can not be like them and I can be more like everybody else, then they're not going to lump me with the weird person. And it just and it's interesting because you hear this come from these kids who we see and we genuinely know they are nice kids and they are like good kids and they're good people and they want to be good people, but they're struggling with the social aspect, the social dynamics of being different. And so we're not talking about big catastrophic heartbreaks and betrayals and backstabbing. And yeah, maybe some rumors and some whispering that does start early, but the not being confident in showing up as yourself. And we've talked about this on this podcast before, but you really start to see that show up around 8 years old, where these girls are feeling this and this pressure that who they are inherently is not enough. And I think kind of any activities and work we can do to help them feel comfortable with who they are and that other people are going to be different and that is a good thing and perfectly okay is just critical.
And I think also just encouraging them to try in different ways. So one of the big things that I always bring forward is improv. That's just my background, but I also feel like it helps people show up in a specific way because improv is scary, right? And most people are like, I don't know, I'm not going to improvise, even though we're technically improvising all the time. All of this, even right now, is improv. We didn't make a script of what this podcast was going to be. But giving, people an opportunity to show up and to play and to try different things, I think is super helpful. And so building that confidence, and I said it earlier, but breaking the pattern is so important because when you can break the pattern, and then you can teach them, right? You can teach them that even if they don't know what's happening or what's about to happen, that they're going to be okay because they can pivot and they can improvise and that they have the tools that they need to figure it out in the moment is so impactful. And finding different ways to let them figure it out for themselves and always encouraging them to maybe come up with more than one way of doing something, I think is a helpful exercise.
Yeah. Okay, so you primarily work with adults, and a lot of people listening also work with adults. Could be at work, but I even mean within Girl Scouts, they either have a leadership role with other volunteers, or they could if they don't currently. So, not just suggesting that if you listen to this podcast, you'd probably be good at it. So, if one thing in particular is there are these monthly volunteer meetings, and listen, if you're listening, exactly what I'm talking about, these monthly leader meetings that usually are very long, they're very boring. A lot of the information is irrelevant, but we recommend that you go because it's an opportunity to connect with other volunteers. So, you're not just like doing this in a silo and recreating the wheel yourself. You have shared resources and ideas, and you can feel connected to other people and build relationships of your own. But but also because it is really the main place that you're going to get new information. So even if a lot of the information isn't relevant to you, that one little piece of information you did need, that is the place to get it. So we want volunteers, especially new volunteers, to come to these monthly leader meetings. But most of the time, the person running the meeting is not necessarily just somebody who's extraordinary at leading business meetings. So they either don't have an agenda or the agenda is a nightmare. The meeting goes on forever. It is, I'm really like, I know, just really drilling this home, but what are some suggestions you have for, let's even go with almost like a corporate meeting environment, a business meeting environment? How can we make this more fun and engaging that people will want to show up and they'll actually get better outcomes from coming?
Yeah. One of the things is just if you're running a meeting like this, is give yourself some time to think about what it is that this meeting is going to be from the participants' perspective, right? So again, like that perspective taking, because you really want to think about for them, right? What is the value for them showing up? And I would encourage people to put what they really need to know towards the top, because people show up with the most energy in the beginning and then they start to fade with their energy. So think about that and then help that organize how you lay things out. And then something that I always think is really helpful, and then I got from the Stanford Graduate School of Business, the Think Fast, Talk Smart podcast. And he talks about this framework, which is the what, so what, and now what. And that is such a helpful way to organize how you're sharing information. If you're the leader, you think about, so what is it I'm sharing? And so what? Contextualize it. Why does this matter? Help people understand that everyone's going to connect the dots in the way that it makes sense to you. So give them that just straight out. And then the now what? What happens because of this? And when people get information in that way, they will find it much more valuable because it's easier for them to digest. So think about what is it that they're getting. Think about it that way. And then also, I think it's really important to have, this is a separate thought, but to have other people, like recruit people to be ambassadors with you. So yes, if you're the one leading, but there might be other people that you're like, hey, you come here all the time. I really love that you're here, and encourage them to be like, to support and reaching out and making connections. Because part of it is just like when people show up in a space, they feel like people care that they're there. So that's why having ambassadors help you. So you're thinking about the agenda. You have other people that are thinking about the people and welcoming them into the space, having conversations. And then they feel connected. They feel like, wow, I got value and I understand what to do with this information. That's going to transform how people view these meetings.
Yeah, really good advice. Okay. Thank you so much for joining us. I just feel like there's so much about, and we could really have a ton of different conversations, but I appreciate all of that, the wisdom that you shared today. Hopefully this has been interesting, inspiring, given you listening some ideas for different ways this can show up in the work that you do both with girls and other adults. And I just want to say, if you want to connect, If the person listening wants to connect with you, how can they find you? And what kind of information can they find when they connect with you? What's out there?
Yeah. So I think Instagram, I'm at Playful Leader. You can also just head straight to my website, which is bedsidealebron.com. And then if you're interested, I am offering, if you are a leader in some capacity where you manage, I'm offering free strategy kickoffs. So if you wanted to use that for kind of planning, if you're leading one of these meetings and you're like, hey, Betsida, help me think about how to reorganize, that's something that I'm offering, just trying to help, leaders show up more playfully. You can check that out at my website, improveq.com.
I will link to all of those in the show notes as well. And potentially, and it would obviously depend on the budget that you have available in your service units, you guys, but potentially there could be some interest. Do you, the workshops and the like kind of team building stuff that you, do you do that only in person or do you do that virtually?
I've done both. So virtually and in person. Yeah.
Can you talk really quickly about what that might look like? I'm thinking more on the adult side. If you're training leaders, and I know there's some staff who listens to this, there's people who do kind of certifications, there's people who lead these service unit meetings, these service team meetings, like any context in which you're trying to build team or leadership and confidence with other adults, what might be applicable?
Yeah, so right with the workshops that I do, it is play-based learning. And so that is really important. And even though we're adults, I think we still value play. And so it is about practicing some of these skills and really it's brain training so that we can remind our brain, hey, we're not actually in danger as we think we are sometimes, so that we can build more confidence and we can be more authentically ourselves in the way that we lead and the way that we connect with others. And it's just giving us, like through games, kind of these ways of thinking about, oh, how can I be more playful in the ways that I show up in my day to day? And so that's, yeah. So we play different kinds of games that help people explore and have fun. And really, the magic of the workshops that I do are the debriefs, where we're taking the okay, the so what and now what of it all.
I love this. I want you to come to my council and do it. Anyway, that's not my decision to make. If anybody from my council is listening, I think it would be really fun. But anyway, thank you so much for your time and your expertise. I really appreciate what you do. And I know to the person listening, you're going to love her TED Talks. You're going to love the information on her Instagram. That's really what led to me reaching out and saying, oh my gosh, you've got to come on the podcast. I think there'd be a lot we could talk about. But thank you, thank you, thank you for your time. I really appreciate you. And to you listening, we'll see you next week.